Podcasting 2.0 for September 12th, 2025, episode 234, Slopcasting. Hey, everybody. Welcome. Hey, guys. Welcome, everybody. It's time for Podcasting 2.0. We are, in fact, the boardroom, the board meeting of all things podcasting on a weekly basis. It all happens here. It all gets discussed here. We are, unfortunately, the only boardroom that has an empty seat this week. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who is as alternative as his enclosures. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only Mr. Dave Jones.
Yeah, we got things to figure out here.
Yeah, we do. What are we doing
there's
here?
A lot of balls in the air at the moment.
The Pod News Weekly.
No, that's wrong.
That's the wrong show.
That's the wrong show. Yes. We are, okay, we probably should explain what we're doing here. We are doing a live test of the Lit Tag in audio and in video. So we have the live video URL information, schmicken, lock, and honey, in the alternate enclosure of our Lit Tagged episode. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay.
We have, yes. HLS video currently streaming. It's me. I mean, it's just me in the podcast cave.
Okay. I have it up now, but where do I find the live
desktop?
Here. I'm looking at True Fans.
Yes. Okay. So if you're in True Fans,
this is not a good experience if I can't. Oh, there it is, live. Okay. Yeah, so I hit live. Right. Yeah. Okay. So I hit live now.
Are you listening live?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Now go down to the very bottom next to where like the volume control is.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. It's got a little camera there.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
And what you need to choose, this is very intuitive.
It says not
what you need to choose is not specified.
Yeah. There you are. Okay. So why does it say not specified? Is that because I didn't specify it in my feed?
It's probably got something to do, with the way that the tag, like we didn't put something in the tag that it wants. So we need to figure out what it wants and feed it properly.
While we're at it, let me just check because episodes, live episodes, alternate enclosure.
Nathan says you're seeing not specified because TrueFans uses the title attribute to label the alternate enclosure. So there's no title attribute in our alternate enclosure. So we need to label that.
Here's the option. Oh, content type? No. So I have, this is from Sovereign Feeds. I have under enclosure data, I have application, which I have a type. I have length. I have bit rate. I have height. Language, rel for 1500, Alex. I have codecs and default, and then I have source URI and content type, and those are the default, the codec, and the content type are all optional.
Let me go look at the spec.
So should I say
rel?
Rel?
Wait, what?
Rel? Well, as rel, I have alternate as per your instructions. Your strict specific instructions.
I definitely gave you the wrong stuff.
Yay.
I gave you the right HLS URL.
Yes.
But I clearly did not give you the right of something else. Let's see. Search document. We're going to use the search.
I love these live tests.
Enclosure.
The only thing we forgot to do was hook up our roadcasters together to make sure it was the maximum mess possible today.
That's true. I almost did that. I got so close. Okay. Title is an attribute in the alternate enclosure. Sovereign Feeds sounds like it doesn't have it.
Oh man, no, that's no good.
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad. Okay. Well, we can't do that. Unspecified. People use unspecified.
Yeah, see, rel provides a method of offering and or grouping together different media.
No, it's very possible, Eric PP, that Sovereign Feeds needs to be updated. There's no doubt about that. That's possible. I mean, I've never used the alternate enclosure in Sovereign Feeds, and I'm amazed any of this stuff works at all, to be honest about it.
I have not looked at the alternating closure hand spec.
Hack. Oh, yeah. Good one. Hold on. Hand hack. Yes. Hand hack. Manually edit feed. Woohoo!
Yeah, let's wait for that to happen.
Okay. Let's see. Where do I do this now?
Please don't.
Oh, come on. Please. No. What is wrong with you?
Okay. All right. Go.
What is wrong with you? Don't be a wuss.
Hand hacker.
Okay. Well, Sovereign Feeds has a capability to manually edit your feed, so we can always restore it.
Okay.
And I'm looking here now. Okay, there's the pod roll. There's, live September 12th. Got it. Custom value account. Where is the alternative enclosure? Okay, I'm at the alternative enclosure line. What do I need to add here?
So you I need have to add title in the...
this is going to be so cool.
You need to add title in the alternate enclosure tag itself.
Okay, where would you like me to add that?
Add it right after length. No, okay. No, bitrate. Add it after bitrate.
Okay, bitrate. All right, so I just do space and then title uppercase T?
No, all lowercase.
Title equals?
Equals, just put video.
Video. Okay. Okay, space. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Save.
And we're gone.
Publish. Okay.
Yeah, no, now we're going.
No, feed submitted successfully. So something happened there.
Okay. So did that pod ping it as well?
Yes, it pod pings it.
Because I want to see how what it looks this like. Updates on TrueFans. Yeah.
Woo, baby. This is fantastic. Okay.
Okay. I'm gonna go and see. Let's see. Pod.
We're refreshing. Ping. Refreshing. TrueFans.
No, I'm gonna popping.watch.
Oh, okay. Let me see. I'm still getting not specified.
So it looks like updates on TrueFans. Yeah.
Hold on. Sorry. Knew that was gonna happen. Wow. How exciting is this?
Okay, here I see. I see the lives just came through on podping.watch. So let me go over to TrueFans. Let's see. Let me refresh TrueFans. Did I lose you, Adam?
No, I'm here. I'm listening.
Yeah, there's so much going on my computer right now. I'm just like in dimensions here.
I love it.
234. Okay, now let's see what. Do I have to hit play? Yeah, I got to hit listen live. Still says not specified. Okay, we'll get this thing fixed. Okay. They test successful.
Well, yeah, the video works for sure, which is I'm sure that TrueFans probably they've got to have some caching in place. I mean, we can't totally blame them for this.
No. So the ones that we, of course, TrueFans was going to work. I mean, I had total confidence in Sam. The one that was the question mark was Fountain, because Oscar said that he came back. He said, no, we don't support alternate enclosure video in the live stream and in the live item. And then he came back a few minutes later and he was like, wait, maybe we do.
Well, hold on. Like, let's try
it
on
know.
Podcasting 2.0. Let's try it on the web version.
Oh, that's a good idea.
There's an idea. Okay. Are you smoking?
Me? No, I'm I'm eating trail mix.
I just wanted to say it.
Okay. I can't hide anything I'm doing right now because I'm like, so, I usually mute myself so nobody hears me chew.
So I don't see any live episode on the web version. That's interesting.
Oscar, help!
Yeah, really, Oscar, what's going on, man? Okay.
Oscar literally said, "I guess we'll see what happens." He's like, "I don't know."
Well, that's the only appropriate answer, really. We'll see what happens. We'll see how it goes.
That's called running with scissors.
Yes. So is your Rodecaster hooked up? You want to do that while we're at it, or we just want to talk about some other stuff?
start plugging stuff in. Well, so I let me see. So the what I have is, just to describe the setup,
mm-hmm.
is I first tried to install PeerTube, and it, I mean, it's fairly straightforward, but there's a couple of places in PeerTube's documentation where it is a little, the commands that it says to run don't work.
Oh, and that's always disappointing.
Yeah. And so like it, you create a dedicated PeerTube user,
mm-hmm.
Which is fine, but then it wants you to become that user to do some commands, but it doesn't but that doesn't work because when you add the user, there's no shell. So you can't really log in as that user. Anyway, there's a little bit of an inconsistency, I would say, in the documentation.
Mm-hmm.
I should have tried to do a Docker thing or something and just make it easier, but I was trying to go this manual install route.
Sure.
But it messed up. And then I got it in a state where I couldn't tell Postgres. It wouldn't connect to the Postgres database. And I just really couldn't tell if it was something earlier on that I'd done that didn't work in the instructions. So rather than try to beat my head against that wall, I booted Wednesday night and then just installed Owncast.
What is Owncast exactly?
Well, I mean, it's open source, and it's just a personal HLS streamer. I think that's all it does is just streams an HLS video stream. And I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem to have any external dependencies, because I downloaded the script to install it, and it was literally like, you download it, unpack it, run this command, and give it a port number, and it just works. I mean, it's like magic. It just flat out works. You download the Owncast source and run the Owncast command and say like port 9000, and that's your Nginx reverse proxy port. And so that you can use Nginx to get all of your like TLS certificates and all that stuff. And and then it just started working. So it was streaming. So I'm like, okay, well, that job is done. And then the alternate enclosure, I just put one of those together and had you stick it in the feed. And so now it's just working. And I was trying. I'm logged into the admin console on Owncast. It says currently 19 viewers. So that's pretty good. Streaming to 19 people. Let me see what the, there's somebody's watching in VLC, and then it just gives you basically user agents. Now, the one thing I don't know here is if anybody can, I don't know on the stream side, if you can hear both of us or not. Or if you can just hear me.
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I presume somebody would have said something if that wasn't possible at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe some. Yeah. I'm assuming because I think there was something one time before when I used to do this that some. Okay. Nathan says that they can hear Adam. Maybe. I can't remember what the difference. There was some sort of audio inconsistency. Maybe they couldn't hear you.
Well, let me check it out, bro. Man, let me check it out. Where were we?
Because I remember Alex used to tell me that.
Well, different. But that has to be on your end. That's how you're routing the audio. That's clearly not the Podfather's mistake.
Oh no! How dare me?
Okay, here. Let me check it out. Where were we? Oh, video showed up on True Fans. It worked.
Maybe they couldn't hear. Oh, it says video now?
Yeah, sure
nice,
does.
Nice. Okay.
Well, let me check it out.
Yeah, no, I can hear myself over there.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Woo! Go, Sammy!
Okay, so we're, nailed it, Sam.
Yeah, nice. Nice. Okay. He's now our new validator.
he's always been the validator. This is I'm trying to see.
Excellent.
I'm trying to see what the H top is on the OwnCast server. See where we're.
H top is so pretty.
It's just beautiful.
It's just a beautiful little thing. Yeah, that is very cool. Very cool that works. Nice.
Okay, so we have 20. Let me look at the. Okay, we have 15 viewers currently.
But now what you need is, how can I stream my signal to you so you can hook it in?
This is getting super fancy now. And then, so there's 15 viewers, and then there's we're using 426 megs of RAM, and CPU on the server sitting right around 40%. That's not bad.
Pretty good.
That is not bad.
So
This is a $5 a month nanode.
So can you, that's very good. Can you accept a video stream from me?
I don't know. Can I?
I don't know.
OBS have some sort of facility to like, for you can like pump your stuff over to me.
Yeah, of course it does.
Pump it.
Well, I need to know where to pump it. Baby, tell me where to pump it. Tell me where you want me to pump it. I want to pump it.
Pump it into my OBS.
I saw that, please. Pump it into my OBS. My goodness.
I mean, surely there's some way to do that. There's got to be a way to do that. Right? Got to be a way for me to like open up a port.
Yes. This gets better with age, don't these jokes?
Okay. Ports are wide open.
Yeah.
Let me see. I don't know, but I just don't know what. Let me go look. Let me go look in the OBS.
I have all kinds of things to do.
File settings. Here's where I'm going to accidentally show a password to somebody.
Woo!
Oh, but I've got, you know what I've got here, though? That I've resurrected from the grave?
What's that?
The Stream Deck. My Christmas present from you.
Yes.
And now I can just conveniently hide my desktop.
Yes, beautiful.
Appearance. Let's see.
Surely there's a way I can send this. Explorer. What is all this explore? I don't want to explore, but I want to stream. I'm pretty sure I can. Yes. Hello. Hey, citizen. Test worked. I'm pretty sure I can. Can I not stream direct? This has got to be so boring for people who are just listening.
The boardroom loves it.
It's the boardroom. Exactly. The boardroom is listening to it. Well, I know I can stream. If you can take a StreamYard, then I can send it from StreamYard. I think I still have one of those very expensive accounts.
Oh,
StreamYard.com. Come on. Someone in there knows how to do it. Come on, guys. Let's stop hosing around here.
Let's see. You can have OBS accept a second stream by using the multiple RTMP outputs plugin for simultaneously streaming to multiple platforms, running two separate instances of OBS with different settings. Yeek.
Do you have the said plugin?
Probably not. I don't know about anything about OBS.
Okay.
Except,
all right,
well, I do. I actually know a little bit now. I'm not giving myself enough credit.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see, settings. I don't see anything about plugins, so I'll figure it out. We will figure this out. This will now be a regular thing that I do, and it'll just be an ongoing test.
Okay.
Until the world accepts alternate enclosures with video.
Well, I can always send it to a YouTube and people can do them side by side.
Yeah, double OBS. I'm getting my popcorn. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. I got home. So everything was where I left the stream running last night.
Mm-hmm.
Just
I saw because I for a little while, I just watched your, your log tails go by. It's kind of peaceful. You know, I have it here too.
Aquarium.
It's actually an aquarium. Yes. Like, what is he tailing there? Because you can't really see it.
Uh huh. And that so let's see.
But it's good. It's very good.
But I left it running. Yeah, I left it running last night, and then I got home. When I got home for lunch today to do the show, I went and was going to click. To connect to your clean feed, and the mouse wouldn't move. I was like, "What?" And my whole rig was frozen.
Oh, yeah. So welcome to OBS.
I'm like, well, this brings back memories, so yes. That's great. Well, so hopefully, we do not crash.
I could say without a doubt, Todd Cochran would have loved this episode. He would have loved this experimentation. He probably would have called everyone. Okay, we got to set this up. All of our podcasters got to be doing live video. We got to be able to stream it. Let's get it go. We need a server. We need to go.
All hands bulletin. Everybody has to listen to episode 234 of Podcasting 2.0.
Exactly. If you really want to know what's going on with this lit tag, you've got to listen to episode 234 of Podcasting 2.0. That will explain it all. That's exactly what you would say.
Yep.
Well, you wrote a beautiful piece about him. I thought that was really, really nice. If people haven't seen it, it was titled Leaving, I think.
On leaving, yeah.
Let me just put it in the show notes. That was really beautiful, brother. That's a real nice piece.
Well, the thing about, I think I just echo your sentiment about Todd, which is, I just always expected him to just be there.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, and then just one day he just wasn't there anymore. And it was, I just walked around in a fog for really a few days.
Yeah.
I'm sure you did as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I texted you right away and said, man, this one hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, there's been so many people who have passed away in the past 10 years that I know, but I knew as well as Todd. Mm-hmm. But, then you realize that even though we didn't really talk to each other personally that often or certainly didn't see each other very often, he was always there. He was Wednesday night, Rob and Todd in my ear, walking Phoebe in the dark here in Fredericksburg, yelling back at my phone, like, shut up about video. That was just, it was a constant thing. And then smiling when Todd would push back, and that of course is not the only thing that I remember Todd for, but I mean, we did a nice new media show on Wednesday that Rob put together with Mike Dell and Rob Walsh. It was quite an honor to be there for that episode. That was nice.
Yeah, it was a good episode. And it was really nice to hear some of those older stories. And because there's some of that stuff. There's some of that stuff I didn't know. And there's some of this and some things you guys that have been around, in the podcasting sort of boot up phase that y'all just forget to tell because you were there and it's just part of your history.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't remember to tell it to other people as if it was history, because you just kind of lived through it and it was a thing. And so it's nice to hear some of those, like, when y'all were specifically like trying to think of old stories about the beginnings of booting up podcasting, it was nice to see that, and hear those things that sometimes I think y'all just may miss just because y'all were there.
Totally. Totally.
And it was not, Rob Walsh looks exactly like Peter Gabriel for some reason I don't understand. Rob Walsh was, he was pretty, you could tell he was feeling it.
Yeah.
He was feeling it.
And I had told myself, it's like, cause every podcast I heard was, and I'm like, man, when I go, please have somebody there who's having a good time with it and remembering all the fun times and bring the mood back up, because that, you know, yeah, of course there's a time to mourn. Absolutely. But at this point we already knew for 3 days. So I had been over it, and I talked to my pastor about this. I said, man, this really hit me, this one.
Yeah. And I came home and talked to Melissa about it, and it was really, I knew she was not going to understand, because she's not really in that world anyway, but she had met Todd once before. We were at Podcast Movement Nashville. Mm. I guess this was 2022.
Yeah, I think so. That must have been that.
Or 23.
No, 20. Yeah. I think 23, because I didn't go. So it must have been 23. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So we were there, and Melissa had gone with me, and she had been off doing her own thing in Nashville, and while I was at the conference, and then she came back to the hotel, and late after, you know, after being out, you know, kind of doing her own thing, and then we all ended up. I think it was it was me and Melissa and Todd and Tom Rossi, and I think Alban Brooke was there. It's just a bunch of people. Ben and Alberto, I think, were also there, all just sitting around a table in the sort of lobby lounge area or lobby area of the Opry Hotel. And Todd Cochran starts telling us about his Tinder dates, and he starts flipping.
Oh, was this the time that Melissa passed out?
Yeah.
So then I do remember this.
So he's flipping through Tinder dates and showing us, he's like, I'm going to meet this girl tonight, and I'm going to meet, and I got her signs like lined up for the next day. It was the funniest thing.
I forgot all about that.
We were all just laughing at him, and he didn't care. He's like, he did. That's what I mean. Like, even when you laughed at him, he just thought it was just as fun as laughing with him.
That exactly. Now that is Todd in a nutshell. You could laugh at him.
Never took it personal.
No, he never did. He never did. Yeah. Anyway, I think it's a great idea that they're going to try and keep the podcast awards going and have a Todd Cochran award, which of course we need to call the Toddy, just because he'd hate it.
the hot
Toddy, everybody. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. He would hate that so much.
Yeah.
Oh no, man.
We're going to miss him though.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss him.
So a lot of talk about these Apple chapters, and James, Detective Cridland, has found that Apple is indeed slurping in the JSON chapters file.
Now, I don't know about you, but I did not see that one coming.
In hindsight, it makes total sense, because they've already set with transcripts, they set the mold. And I like it, by the way, because they never want to disappoint their customers. So I understand that if their customers are seeing transcripts on one podcast and not on another, they don't want their customers to say, they probably don't want the customer support, honestly. Like, hey, your chapters are broken, your transcripts are broken on this podcast. Yeah. So they created transcripts that are auto-generated if you don't make them available. I think actually you have to set it. If I'm not mistaken, you have to go into Apple Connect and say explicitly take my chapters. I'm not sure if that's still the case, take my transcript. That I don't know if that's still that way. And for chapters, I presume they're going to do something similar, which, by the way, kind of shows that they do have an AI strategy somewhere inside the company. It's not necessarily super apparent on the phone. But doing generating chapters automatically for podcasts has been done for quite a while. So I think that's a great way. As long as they respect my own chapter file, I really feel I shouldn't have to go set it in Podcast Connect. So that may not be the case. I'm not sure.
From what James said, he's seeing the chapter URLs get hit in his feed, you know, from Apple's crawlers.
Hmm.
So, I mean, they're ingesting the document, the, you know, the feed, the chapter file that is specified in his XML. And so, I mean, if they're pulling that in, perfect example. I hope he's right, and that what they're doing is pulling in a chapter's file if you have it, and generating one if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, the perfect example of why that would be a good idea is that there's two Twit shows that I listen to every week. I listen to them as part of my job. And it's Security Now and Windows Weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Just so I can keep track of those two things. And they're good sort of keeping you up to date on news shows. And even though I'm a paid subscriber in the Club Twit thing, so I'm a paid member, so I get access to the advertising free episode.
Right.
They still don't have chapters. And there's some things that I'm paying for the show to get, like, you know, because I want to make sure this product doesn't go away. So I'm paying for the show and I still don't get chapters. So it's not a matter of, you know, Leo always said he didn't put chapters in because he didn't want people skipping the ads, but there's no ads in it anyway. And it would be, and honestly, I love Steve Gibson to death, but a lot of his show is just reading articles from Bleeping
right,
Computer.
Right. You actually want the chapters for his show.
Yeah, I really need to just skip some stuff that's completely irrelevant to me sometimes. And sometimes he's long-winded and he can talk for 20 minutes. And trying to just like skip around. If Apple auto-generated some chapters for those, that would be incredible. Like I would use that immediately. You know, and if they do it in the same way they did transcripts, where they're gonna honor the chapters file you specify or create them on the fly if you don't have any, man, that would be amazing. What, you know, and if it's something you could do on device, then other apps could do it too.
Ooh, that's a good point.
You know, with their local models or whatever. I'm sure they're going to use AI for that. You know.
Oh, of course. By the way, I'm still waiting. Somehow I got in the queue for the pod chapters. Is it? It's not really. I guess you would call it an app. It's not an app, but it's the pod chapters system from Daniel J. Lewis. And I was like, I wanted to use it for my shows. And I'm like, oh, it says you're on the list. I'm on the list.
Like, you're on lots of lists, Adam.
I want to be at the top of the list. I want to be in. I want to be using it. Ever since I heard that, you know, I see now that RSS.com allows you to put your own URL in there. I'm like, oh, this is great. I can do it. Anyway.
Oh, wait, so... Hey, Citizen Dave, your OBS audio is 420 milliseconds early.
Oh, versus your mouth?
Oh, I'm not synced.
Welcome to video, my friend. This is how it starts. This is what it is. This is why one of the many, many reasons I do not want to deal with video. Like, why would I want to put myself through that?
Well, I don't know how to fix that, so that'll have to go.
There's an offset.
That'll have to go in the bucket.
There's a setting to offset that, and you know, it's like, why would you even have to do it? Shouldn't that just be something that the system automatically adjusts?
You would think. I don't know. I'll have to figure that out later. But okay. I can't. As soon as you open OBS settings, you're just kind of like your eyes crossed.
So what other tags could Apple implement in this manner? Let's start a pool. What would the next tag be that they could do where they can satisfy all of their customers by generating it themselves?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm looking at the list right now. Location.
No, they can't. They can't possibly know location. Because location tag can be where it's from, what it's about. No, I don't think.
Well, they can do that. If it doesn't have a location tag, they could put in the No, you're right. Too much hassle. Because that's the source. That's not too much hassle.
Give me the other ones. What else do we have on the list? Let's run down the list. Let's figure this out. You know they're going to do it. You know they're going to do something.
Person. That would be hard.
Very hard to do.
That would be very hard to do accurately.
Hmm.
Pod roll, no.
No. No.
Publisher, no.
Maybe this is it, man. We're done.
Finished. Soundbite. I don't think they'd do that. That just doesn't sound worth it. Trailer. Maybe.
They could. I mean, it would be, it's a lot of work for them, but it doesn't, I thought there was something that does trailers automatically. I could be wrong.
I bet there's lots of things that hit like Headliner and those kind of things.
Mm.
The one that I think, see, I was fully expecting their next big 2.0 adoption to be Live Item.
Yeah.
I did not see Chapters coming.
I would love it for that to happen.
Oh, I think it's going to. I didn't expect it to be Chapters next.
Mm.
That was a surprise.
Yeah.
But that just tells me that once they're finished with Chapters, they'll be doing Live next.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so.
Who doesn't want Live in their podcast app?
Yay.
Everybody does, right?
I think so. I think it would start a revolution, which we've already started, to be quite honest. You know,
I just pulled it up in True Fans again. It makes me happy.
I'm so happy.
Did we figure out whether or not Fountain is working?
No, I can't find it. I can't find a switch. There's no toggle.
I'm pulling it up on mine. Where's my Fountain at? I'm just going to see if there's a difference between the iOS version and the Android. Since you're on Android.
I'm on Android, yeah, so.
Then maybe the iOS is different.
Hmm.
I hate how TestFly doesn't recognize that you're a premium subscriber in your apps that you're testing.
Man, I'm glad I don't have to deal with TestFly. Just give me the Play Store. It's fine.
I don't see. Oh, there it is. Okay, that's 233. That one ended. Feed podcasts. Podcasting 2.0. This is super exciting, isn't it?
Not really.
No, it's actually terrible. But you have to look when you're doing it because that's the important part. You know?
Well, this Live Item would be great for them to do next. That's for sure. That would be fantastic.
Or alternate enclosure. I mean, they could support the video alternate enclosure, but that would make sense too.
Yes.
Because, and it may go in that order because then they would do the alternate enclosure, then the Live Item, so they could have the video as well.
Mm.
I believe in Ted.
What is Ted's actual title? What does he actually do?
That's his title, Ted.
His title is Ted.
that's just who he is. I mean, it's just talk to Ted.
That's funny.
my Fountain is just crashing out. I can't.
Oh, really?
That's
odd.
I know. It is weird. That's not usual for them.
No, certainly not. Certainly not for them.
Let's see. What's my... I can't seem to pull this up.
Well, anyway,
maybe somebody else can tell. Maybe somebody else can tell us. Did you see that the Tidal Music Service is now doing their own sort of like donation thing?
Yeah, have you figured it out? Because it obviously it works with Cash App. Because I know that Square? Is that there? Is Square? Is that Dorsey's thing? Square?
Yes,
Walk Square.
Right.
Square. I know they bought Tidal for, I think, several hundred million dollars.
Which was weird when they did it.
Right. Well, we always knew that. And he even said at the time, Dorsey said, you know, oh, this is going to be, you know, we're going to connect this to Cash App and direct payments. And the whole title thing by itself was kind of odd because they were focusing a lot on real high quality audio, which, as it turns out, nobody cares about. Okay, James Friedland, right, I hear you. Yeah, some people do care about it.
Him and Neil Young.
Well, Neil Young had a whole device and a whole system, and that went out of business because just there wasn't enough demand for it.
Yeah, the thing that was like shaped like a prism or something. Yeah, really
exactly.
Weird.
Yeah, exactly. Huge. I have one somewhere still. But
didn't it play like FLAC files or something?
Oh, I don't remember.
It was lossless, and the files were huge. Is all I remember.
It took a while for them to come down the pipe.
So, but I never understood that because, I mean, that would be like it was like PayPal buying Pandora or something. It's like, what? What? Why are you buying a music service?
Well, for this very reason. Let me see. Explain the way Tidal will work with Cash App to pay artists directly. And I'm really curious how they do this because this is all licensed music, which means you've got to split that money. It's got to under, you know, this, it's not like value for value music where whoever puts it up, you know, you determine your splits. I doubt that they have those splits. Okay. Tidal Music. Oh, it's owned by Block. Okay. It is Block, not Square. Okay. Well, my AI agent, my agentic AI is searching for an answer.
What AI is this?
Oh, I use Grok pretty much for everything.
Oh, okay. It's got the agentic stuff in it?
I don't know. It's thinking, it's browsing, whatever.
Sure.
It's $20 bucks a month. I mean, as long as it lasts, I'll take it. But with my vibe coding, man, I tried ChatGPT again. Oh, what a mistake. ChatGPT. Yeah, it just takes you down the rabbit hole, man. It's like, clearly this, you know, like, no, I'm not going to reinstall FFmpeg. No, that's not my problem. you took me down a hole, you know? And the one thing I will say that Grok does well is it opens up code in a code block window in the browser. Whereas ChatGPT just keeps it all in that one page. And so at a certain point, you've got 2 gigs in this one tab and it just becomes unwieldy. And you can do branch and it'll open up a new page, which will still be 800 megs. And then you try to continue there. I mean, you might as well just say, describe what we did and I'll start a new conversation, which you have to do often with these things because they're not very good at remembering what they did. At all, really.
Yeah, that's
okay. Tidal's direct artist payout program sends. Oh, hold on. Here it comes. Finally, thank you. Bad robot. Okay, up to 10% of their monthly fee is allocated directly to the most streamed artists of the month. Oh, so Jay-Z and Beyonce get everything.
Yeah, and Taylor Swift.
Oh, direct fan contributions, tipping. Artists set up a contribution button on their Tidal profile page. Fans see this button and can send money with a click along with viewing a custom message from the artist. Oh, from the artist. Support my met. Okay. So they have basically a funding tag. Okay.
That's the part that interested me. Yeah.
Fans pay using their linked payments. Okay. So it doesn't tell me where it goes. Okay.
So purely proprietary.
Yeah. Oh, of course it is. Yeah. Well, we expected that.
Well, you know, but I think, we expected it, but I think a lot of people in the Bitcoin world are seduced by the Jack, you know, Jack, orb of confusion.
The Jack stuff.
Yeah. They think that, Jack's going to be, he's
good. He's good.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's going to do everything right. I mean, or whatever. He's going to do everything open source. And it's just not the way this stuff works.
No, it really isn't.
He may be a fine person. He may be fine, but he's, but no. it's not like everything's going to be open source. That requires destitute people like us.
Exactly. Destitute and desperate. Exactly. That's exactly what it needs.
Yeah. Billionaires usually do not give away their software. That's just not really in this part. No. It's not part of the program typically.
Although, you know, he kind of gave away some Bitcoin to make that go. Has that grown at all? Is anyone doing anything with Nostr? Is there any expansion? I mean, I follow the Damus guy through the, bridge.
He seems to still be kicking. Is Alex Gleason still doing stuff on the Mostr bridge? I don't know. It seems like Nostr talk has calmed down a lot. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's just kind of gone.
Which I think
into the background.
Is a perfect time to rekindle using the Nostr relay that Oscar set up to send metadata to LNURL. I mean, we're at that point where everybody's kind of throwing their hands up and like, well, this is dying. Well, yeah, because we're still all on Keysend and the LNURL pay stuff works. It works. I get stuff in my Strike wallet only from Fountain pretty much or Podcast Guru. But if Podcast Guru, if you're using your Strike wallet there, then it won't go to a regular Keysend. So we have to kill off Keysend and we have to use the metadata proposal that is supported by the biggest player in the system, which is Fountain.
Yeah, the structure for the metadata and the protocol for how to deliver it don't have to be the same thing.
No, I know, but everyone's looking for a way to do it.
Yeah, but that it can be done in multiple ways. Like Fountain is publishing the metadata on to Nostr. That metadata can be published somewhere else just as easily.
No, I understand, but everyone's like, well, we have no way to do this. I'm like, yeah, we do. We have an actual published way with a demo and how to do it. And I think there's even code. Just do it already. I mean, I know it's easy for me to say because I know what development is like a little bit. But it's not like we haven't already been through this loop and already came up with a solution. Yeah, maybe not everybody agrees with it. But there's still all this Bitcoin bro, VC money. There's all this stuff lingering in the background, which kind of screwed it up in the first place.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Here's my take on stuff like this is people are going to lean in the direction that they feel.
Hold on, Sir Spencer. There is no backward compatibility with something that has been deprecated. It just happens. See, this is what I mean. This is exactly
LND
the problem.
LND is going to drop Keysend. That's like, it's just not going to be there anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you may not like it, and I loved Keysend. We developed the whole idea on Keysend, lest you forget who came up with it. That was the beauty of it, sending money in real time, no invoices, no permission. Believe me, it's a shame. We fought real hard. I tried to even get... what's the bit thing? Not BitPay. LN Bits. I really tried. Like, look, you've got an implementation. Just, you know, approve the pull request. No one wants it. So it's not backwards compatibility. It's dead, Jim.
Yeah. I mean, Lightning Labs themselves have just killed it.
Yeah.
Because that's what Brian said this week that Keysend has been deprecated.
And it sucks, but that's it. Just give up. It's you know, oh, it works good. No, it doesn't, because you're in a very small circle. And I don't even know what is going on with Wavelake. Are they still around? Are they still alive? Are they only doing Zaps now? I have no idea what happened to them.
I don't know. I was wondering the same thing recently as well. I haven't heard from Michael. Was doing a couple of podcasts for a while, and then those ended. The mixtape.
Yeah, because it's hard. It is surprise, hard. Surprise. Yes. It's hard to do a podcast to stick with it, at least. It's hard. Absolutely.
And so I've been wondering the same thing. But, you know, I just, the people, when there's competing ways of doing, when there's competing sort of ideas about how the, about how to do something, at that point, I think maybe people are just going to do, people are going to lean in the direction of the thing that they feel most comfortable with. And Fountain feels most comfortable. Oscar feels most comfortable in the Noster world. And then, you know, other people in the community don't. And it's, and I think they can just both, I just think they can both work. You know, if there's a, if there's a meta boost tag in the feed that go, that can be dropped in there, and it just specifies here's where to send the metadata.
Yeah, well,
and the, it can just go to whatever, and that that endpoint, that receptacle can be Noster or it can be something else. I mean, it could even just be an HTTP post request to some, to a backend service that accepts the metadata. And the podcaster is saying, here's where you send it. And that thing can go. And then once this agnostic, you know, sort of receiver gets that thing, it could put it on the, it could put it anywhere. You know, I mean, it could put it, it could put the metadata into on both Noster and, you know, something else at the same time.
Well, like, let me just touch the third rail because it's what I do. The issue is that we got this very, the most excited people by value for value, the people who were into it the most, unfortunately, were also completely into sovereignty and DMU. And we can't have wallets that aren't completely independently sovereign running on your own node. And that turned a lot of people off. People who are just, who just want it to work, like on their Strike wallet or something else. That's all they wanted. And there was a very, very strong push. No, that's not doing it right. And that's where we got stuck. That's just the fact of it. So, you know, everyone's like, well, how do I make it work on my node? Well, it's not easy. There's a lot of work to do it on your own node. There really is.
Yeah.
You know, but there's,
well, the other part is that it was never having the payment metadata in the keysend payload TLV was never the right way to do it to begin with.
True.
Absolutely. That was a hack.
Yeah, absolutely true.
That was a kludge and it just happened to work, but it, you never get, we've seen repeatedly demonstrations of people sending us boost and just faking the amounts or faking the sure. identity sure. and all that kind of thing.
Sure, sure, sure.
You know, and that's just, you know,
I guess that's a part of life. That's just how it goes. Oh, you okay? What happened?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But you know, that's just part, I guess the other part of me wonders, do we even need sort of like identification and payment verification and this kind of thing?
Yeah, I don't feel so. And the way I look at it, is I just want it to work. And at the time when you and I concepted this, the reason why it worked is because Lightning allowed programmable money and micro payments with very low fees. That was the whole attraction of it. And ever since whatever that stupid upgrade was to the Lightning network, we will be able to send other types of tokens over the Lightning network. And I'm telling you, Taro. And I'm telling you, there are already 400 million people using stablecoin wallets. It's already 400 million around the world.
I don't understand because where do you even get stablecoin?
Oh, you can buy.
How do I go get it? Where?
Well, right now you get it on an exchange. You can buy stable. The stablecoin has been used mainly as a digital intermediary when you want to sell Bitcoin to then, you know, quickly turn around and turn it into a shitcoin. Instead of turning it into dollars, you turn it into a stablecoin USD or USDT or USDC. And then it just, it's a microsecond transaction. It was really used for traders. And, you know, this whole industry is built up around proving that they have the backing and that it's pegged to the dollar. And I'm telling you that this is going to be the way they're going to take control away from the Federal Reserve. I'm not going to say it's a great idea. There's all kinds of downsides to it. Yes, it can be, of course, it can be interrupted, blocked, stopped, hijacked, censored. Of course. Of course. But that's why I like the Lightning Network, because you can always say, oh, okay, you block me, boom, I'm back to Bitcoin. And I'll just continue on this way. But the Lightning Network is perfect for it because most of the infrastructure is already in place. And man, I'm telling you, this is the one problem everybody's had with this otherwise great idea. Everyone loves the concept. Oh, I'd love to pay some money on the fly. Sure. I'd love to send a boostagram and add a boy, a tip, if you will. And when everyone has gotten used to it in a couple of years' time, when stablecoin dollars will just be normal, the normal way you transact currency, because it's coming. Okay, maybe 5 years, but I think it'll be shorter than that. We'll be well prepared, and people will love it. And you censor me? Okay, I'm just going to switch to Bitcoin. No problem. Click. I'm done. Look, the majority of my life, my income, my life is PayPal. Do you know how precarious that feels?
Yeah, it's a knife's edge. Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel you. Yeah. I'm starting to question the need for attribution.
Well, Salty Crayon, that's not true. That's not true. The fees on, there will be, I think there'll be no fees on stablecoin transactions. This is part of the point. It really is.
But do we need attribution though? Because what we've been saying from the beginning is we need to say this person said they paid this much. Here's the idea we've been going under. This person said that they donated this much money. And we need a way to verify that that was accurate. But do we? I guess that's the question. Because what we're talking about, and the reason this is so complex to do it the right way, is that we're talking about, and when I say right way, I mean like truly cross-platform, is that we're really beginning to develop, we're starting to develop a payment system, like in the true sense of the word, and not just a way to donate money to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the heart of what we're trying to do is donating money to podcasts, you just get what you get.
I'm okay with that because that's what we've always had. We've always had, well, yeah, someone can spoof it or do something wrong, or, you know, they send 10 million, they only had 1,000, it doesn't show up, but then the boost comes through as 10 million. Okay, that's happened maybe 5 times. You know?
And you can still see that you can still see in the transaction that it wasn't 10 million, it was 5,000.
And you can verify it on the back end. Like, oh, okay, so, you know, the new helipad.
Right. So Yeah, I'm starting to wonder if the payment proofs themselves don't matter, because really what they are, as a podcaster, what do you want?
Money. We want hookers and blow. Hookers and blow, baby. I want all my money in a brown paper bag. I want 24-hour day limo service and chicks.
And those books that are hollow that you put on your shelf and stick your cash in.
Yeah, you're talking now.
What you want is the money, and you want a note, some feedback. Those are the two things you want. And so what Fountain did is they layered a social aspect onto this thing where they've been able to turn it into comments. And there's a social thing. And TrueFans also is taking it as a social thing. But you know, but that's just the direction they've gone with their product. And that's fine. But then you as the podcaster, you, whether or not it becomes those payment proofs go out to Noster or get published out ActivityPub on through TrueFan, no matter how that all works, in the end, if you get paid, you just get paid and you get a note.
Yeah.
Whether it's in the memo field of the Bolt 11 or whether it's in the TLV of a keysend, you still get the money and you get a note. And that's really all that the podcaster cares about. So I feel like one of the reasons this is so complicated is because these are now product decisions, not really payment delivery issues. Because Bolt 11 works. And you can stick a note in it. I mean, I don't know what the note is. The notes are not very long, but you can put one in there, you know.
And by the way, Bemrose, I'm not shitting on people who want sovereign money. I hold Bitcoin. I love sovereign money. That's not the point. It's like it can't, if just see the results. See the results of only wanting it to be sovereign, only wanting it to be self-hosted, only wanting. The result is it dies. That's just the fact of life. And yeah, I just want to get money, value for the podcast I'm doing. That's all. I'll turn it into Bitcoin later. And if I get deplatformed and someone takes away my 1,000 sats or my 1,000 pennies or whatever it is, I'll move back to Bitcoin. That's what I like about it. I have a built-in backup. And I'd love to be able to receive both. Why can't I receive both? Mm-hmm. Don't see any reason why that wouldn't work. But yeah, you're right. We're making product decisions. And I just wanted to make my voice heard because you and I came up with it. It's a good idea. It's a fun thing. And it's slowly, slowly withering away, except within kind of the Fountain ecosystem.
Yeah, and we got one boost today.
Yeah.
It kind of stinks because it was, because it's really fun. And
well, I got a boost from Chad F that just came in, 3,238 sats. He says he's been working with Oscar on stuff and I can add wallets, new wallets, even send stuff to Noster. But if the feeds have key send addresses, I can't do anything. If we're doing this, we need to remove key send addresses from the feeds. This boostagram is going to key send. No, I understand. Yes, we have to refactor, and it sucks. Totally. That's the worst possible scenario for any product. Is like, I'm sorry, it's no longer compatible. I'm still living with that with my Sonos system. They literally bricked all of the speakers and said, well, you got a new app and here's a legacy app. Good luck with that. Yeah, it's horrible. People get fired over that stuff. See the Sonos CEO.
Well, I mean, I appreciate what Chad F is doing and Alex, you know, and Eric PP. And, you know, I'm thankful that they're trying to get this stuff they're trying to get something working. I don't know. I hope it works. And I'm not sure. I feel like, Oscar too, because Oscar wants this stuff to be open source too. Because his app and Sam, you know, because they need this stuff to work cross platform because it helps them when everybody else can participate. They don't true fans. Sam and neither Sam or Oscar want a closed ecosystem where everybody must use their thing in order to be
exactly.
But because that's just not. It's not enough. It won't work. On its own, it really, and I'm thankful that those guys are actually working and trying to figure this stuff out. I feel guilty that I'm not, that I don't have.
And you should. You should feel guilty. You should feel very guilty.
I don't have the mental bandwidth
because
right now
honestly,
to get in it.
You know what? If you were in there, it would be fixed. And I'm not saying that to make you feel bad or anything. It's just the fact.
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is a complicated problem. I appreciate that thought, but that's not, I think this is, I don't think that at all. And part of the reason I've stayed out of it is because I don't, it feels like product decisions, and I'm afraid I'm, you know, I feel like I'm going to, I don't feel like I have anything to say on those things. Eric is right. It's complicated.
It's complicated.
Alex started writing an API.
Yeah.
To receive payments. And I mean,
which was good.
When you have to write a whole API. That's not,
yeah.
That's not easy. That's a big problem.
I've written APIs. What are you talking about? I wrote a meta proxy API. It's humming along.
Yeah. And that's when you're talking about, receiving payment proofs in an API spec, that is a big lift.
Yes, I know.
You know, and the reason this worked at the beginning was because KeySend was already functional and documented.
Yeah.
This next thing that we're doing, is not. And you can say, I understand Noster's there and there's already a spec for it, but that doesn't change the fact that Noster is just virtually unknown outside of a few people in the Bitcoin world. Mm. I mean, if this is going to be anything, and then who runs this? And then who runs the Noster relay? That's going to be, what are we going to run a Noster relay? No, I mean, this stuff works right now because it's running on Fountain's relay.
Right, but the whole beauty of relays is anybody can set up a relay, which, by the way, is the number one place censorship can take place. You know, it's like all of that can happen. I mean, they're talking censorship in Bitcoin Core at this point. There's all kinds of stuff going on. It's the beauty of open source projects like this. It's what makes it exciting.
But that's what I'm saying is like Fountain runs their own relay. In order for this to be broader than Fountain, you have two choices. If we're going to say, okay, Noster is the way that we're going to do this. I'm saying we, well, who is we? I don't control people. Everybody can do whatever they want.
Dave, you control me. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. You know, this is a truth.
Monkey.
Yes. Yes, massa.
And so if you go like, if we were to say, okay, let's all try to do Noster, who's going to run what relay is this stuff going to go to?
Well, can't you have any relay Fountains? You want?
Yeah, but you can't. But that's an idea. I'm saying who's actually going to run it.
Okay, I'll run one.
But because if you put this information on, if you put these payment proofs onto some just public relay like Domus or something. Mm-hmm. Well, now everybody can see it. What if the podcaster doesn't want you to see it?
Right. Well, that's another conversation that came up a long time ago with the Boostergrams. And I think for me, we're past that. In fact, part of the value for value system, which I've documented, valueforvalue.io or info, sorry. I don't even know where it lives anymore. Is that the entire motivating factor behind value for value support of podcasts is that it is open and transparent. People actually like it. It's just, you know, you go to Give, Send, Go or GoFundMe, and the first thing everybody does is looks at what money everyone else gave. It's how the system works. Like, oh, and the transparency is good. Because people say, oh, I can sit there and count and see how much money you made. And maybe that's a deciding factor for somebody. I'm not against that.
Yeah, I'm not against the idea, but I don't get to make those decisions for other people.
Yeah, but I do, you see.
You're the pod father. I'm not.
You're the pod sage.
I'm the pod kid. You know,
I don't get to make those decisions.
But it's like that's what I'm saying. I mean, I can't, So that means everybody's going to have to either post a Fountains relay, or somebody else is going to have to set one up that's like quote unquote dedicated to, you know, to whatever. I mean, like, you know, Eric said everybody can run their own relay. Well, we've seen how that works with everybody running their own Lightning node.
Right, but don't these relays at a certain point, don't they all cross-pollinate? Am I misunderstanding how Nostr works?
Not out of the box. No, oh, okay. I think you have to add extra layers of stuff on top.
Extra bits.
Yeah. Extra bits.
Okay.
You got to put extra stuff on top.
Well, anyway, I'm open to testing. So if anybody has anything they want me to test, I'm happy to do it. I really am. Looking forward to it. I can implement some stuff. I'm a node runner. Beep, beep.
Now, I know you didn't say everybody, Eric, but the sentiment is that people can run their own. And I'm just saying that we've seen how that collapses when everybody had to get off Albi and run their own node.
Well, yeah, it collapses.
It doesn't.
It collapses the normies, if you will. Of course.
Yeah, they're immediately gone.
Yeah, like exactly.
That's why we don't get boosts anymore on the show very much is mm-hmm. that. You know, it takes nerds like CSB to send us a boost.
Did he?
Yeah.
He always does.
He's the only boost. He's the only guy that boosted us this week. I don't know. It's a hard problem.
I'm here to help. I'm happy to help. You know, I finally got Dvorak to accept Lightning payments. Mm-hmm. And all he does is scoff at me because he says, look, there's nothing coming in. Told you so.
Yeah. It's about 5 years too late. But yeah.
Well, there you go. There you go.
This is maybe the first time that you were late on something. It's his fault.
It's totally his fault. It's not my fault.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I don't know what to think about it, honestly. We've got one thing we do have to have an uncomfortable discussion about.
Oh boy.
Is spam in the index.
Oh, this is actually, I had it on my list. So take it away.
You?
Yeah, I did.
There's spam in the index.
Who is they?
Well, the spam, the one I hit this morning. So there's WordPress. So here's where this stuff is coming from best I know. WordPress blogs that are using really simple what's it called?
PowerPress.
No, it's the other. It's the one from Castos. Seriously simple. Yeah, seriously simple.
Mm-hmm.
And WordPress blogs. I've seen it coming from PowerPress as well. WordPress blogs that spin up, install PowerPress, and just start creating thousands of feeds of affiliate spam.
Mm-hmm.
And so I cleared out about 2,500 of those this morning from the index.
Now that they create feeds with enclosures.
Yeah. And it's just a lot of times they don't even play. It's just a link to a blank audio file.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes they do. And it's just like completely unintelligible what the audio is supposed to be. It's just junk. And they're just trying to get indexed by something, maybe by LLMs or by search engines. I don't know. It's some SEO
Shotgun approach.
So I killed about 2,500 of these today. I killed probably about 1,500 of them last week from a different blog. Then I saw this thing. It was a bunch of audiobooks.
Mm. Probably pirated.
Pirated audiobooks, yes. Mm-hmm. And some of these are coming from legit hosting companies. And I'm going to reach out to them and let them know. Because they seem to still be active. And it's probably people abusing their trial accounts.
Yeah.
Because that's where all the shenanigans happen. So I'm going to reach out and let them know. But then there's also this, I found this other thing this morning It was a bunch of feeds going to easyhosting.space. 274 of these feeds, and these are audio, you know, full audiobooks. Come here to listen to free full audiobooks, you know, and it's all, and it's copyrighted, you know, these are copyrighted things. Easyhosting.space. And that just, if you go to easyhosting.space, if you just type that your address in, it redirects you to audiobooks.com. And maybe I'm crazy, but a domain as expensive as audiobooks.com, that probably is legit service, right?
I don't know. Let me take a look. That's interesting.
Easyhosting.space. And that just redirects you to audiobooks.com. And so...
So do they redirect directly to an audiobook?
No, it directs you to like a sign up free.
Okay, well, that's not a podcast.
Right.
No. It's not a valid enclosure. It doesn't open... Unless you call an HTML page a valid enclosure, no.
So the only... There's...
That's probably 100% affiliate spam because if someone, you know, so they know where it came from. The refer link is the whatever that website was that you mentioned. So that's just refer spam. Yeah.
Okay. So this easyhosting.space is what they're just redirecting to audiobooks.com to get the affiliate spam.
That's what I would suspect. Yes.
Yeah, so this stuff is just rampant right now. And
so do you have ways to test before we add something? And are they pod pinging or are they just adding manually?
Yeah, okay, yeah, I see what you mean, Daniel. So yeah, they're coming from, so we ingest feeds a bunch of different ways, you know, from a lot of different sources, and one of the ways we do it is through Podping. We also do it through missed search hits. So if somebody searches for a feed URL and we don't have it, we then check it to see if it's a valid RSS feed. And if it is, then we add it.
Got it.
So that's, and this is an RSS feed and it passes all the checks. It's a valid feed. You know, with valid enclosures and all that kind of stuff, but it's just crap. And the only way I can think of to battle against this would be some sort of machine learning that we would have to train to try to identify this stuff. But I don't know, man. It's just a big problem. I mean, the main reason I brought it up was because, you know, I wanted to let hosting companies that have allow trial accounts. For a while, it was like Vietnamese online poker sites. That was the big thing.
Yay.
Now it's audiobooks. That's the latest thing.
Yeah. I see the problem.
So everybody heads up, check your trial accounts, make sure you're not getting exploited.
Is it all legit trial accounts?
It seems that way. Okay. Yeah, it seems that way. Just based on, I'm not even going to mention which host it is.
Out him. Come on, baby. Let's do it.
Because it's just abuse. It's just flat out abuse.
Yeah.
You know, it's abuse.
Well, then we have the other issue, which is slop casting.
Oh, that's horrible.
But we actually had a conversation with Dvorak about it yesterday. I mean, I've listened to some of these slop casts, AI generated, particularly from the former Wondery lady, who are doing 5,000 slop casts, 3,000 feeds, 3,000 episodes a week. I think it's valid.
What do you mean valid? What do you mean?
These are valid podcasts.
You got me at a disadvantage because I've not heard any of them, so I can't.
Hold on a second.
Do you have an example?
Yeah, of course. Nigel Thistledown does the garden podcast. That's just one example. Now, of course, the way they make money is they generate these very cheap podcasts, and they slap a whole bunch of inserted ads on it. So let me fast forward. Hold on.
Gel, salt,
game, every
intelligence.
Here we go.
Proves rather advantageous.
Get in on the action. This is an investment that carries risk. Kalshi.com.
Good evening, fellow garden adventurers and wildlife diplomats. I'm your host, Nigel Thistledown, and I must once again remind you that I am an artificial intelligence, which proves rather advantageous for tonight's wild tale. You see, while I may never experience the genuine terror of discovering a family of badgers has redesigned my entire herbaceous border overnight, I possess something rather extraordinary. Comprehensive access to centuries of wildlife behavior studies. Ecological research.
Oh, that, you get the idea.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we should let him in.
Sounds like a podcast. Let him in.
Yeah. I mean, why not? Are you against it?
I don't know what I don't have a hot take. I would have to think about it. This is not, so there was an episode of America This Week. This has probably been about a month and a half ago, maybe a month ago.
Mm.
And they were discussing AI, and it was around the time, I don't know if you saw Jim Acosta interviewed.
Yeah, I was version. Very surprised. Did he not know that he was interviewing an AI person?
No, he did. Yeah, he did. Okay, all right. Yeah, it was all contrived. It was all set up.
All right.
But he interviewed an AI version of some kid that got killed in a school shooting.
Yes.
I don't remember who the kid was, but it was supposedly like an AI like version of this kid that they had been like trained on this kid's personality. And so then Jim Acosta asked the kid a bunch of questions. It was weird. Very creepy and weird.
Weird. Yeah.
And I honestly can't understand how that even got out of the idea room because it was so uncomfortable.
Look at me. I'm so hip. I'm doing AI interviews. This is awesome. I'm great. I'm Jim Acosta.
And you know, there was the, what they were discussing was that the AI versions of like that guy was, we're still firmly in the uncanny valley of this stuff. Where sometimes it's just really obvious that this is not a real person, but, and that lends itself to people sort of rebelling against it and saying, you know, oh, it'll never be. Yeah. Maybe it can sound like a person, but it can never do so and so, or it can never fill in the blank. You know, it can never think like a real person, or it can never, you know, just fill in your blank of it can never.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the problem is, you know, it will eventually, it will so completely mimic a full person that it will get over the uncanny valley hump. And what this is now is not, what we're living through now is training us,
yes,
to accept,
yes,
this stuff,
yes,
us being bombarded with it is training us to be desensitized to the feeling of the uncanny valley, so that we just accept it as normal, and then it lowers our tolerance threshold down enough to where when AI does make another step, then we just forget it altogether and we just treat it as if it's fine.
Sir Bemrose had the right statement to this in the boardroom. He says, the reason to keep these shows in the index is so that the AI models ingest them and collapse faster.
That's fair.
I'm all for that. I mean, I'm seeing it. If you look at the No Agenda Art Generator, noagendaartgenerator.com, where we have successfully driven away every single artist. Oh, I'm talking over 15 years of people doing art. Mm-hmm. It's all prompt jockeys. And if you go look at it right now, noagendaartgenerator.com, you'll see the model collapse in place because people are using the same models to create, you know, similar just images. And somehow it's definitely feeding back because things start to look orange. It's all the same cartoonish type thing. There's no luminance anymore. There's no blacks, no real black. It's just kind of washed out. It's happening, and I'm happy to contribute to it.
That's fair.
And, you know,
well, if we're going to do it that way, we do not definitely don't need to label it as AI.
Oh, I don't think
if you label it, then they won't ingest it.
Yeah. But that would be a bad thing. Exactly. No, I'm against labeling. I don't think labeling's necessary. But
yeah, this.
But people are listening. They are listening to these.
Yeah, because their tolerance threshold is beginning to lower.
That's going to happen whether we block them or not.
Right. I'm not against. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with leaving them in the index.
Have they actually even submitted? Have we even looked?
I don't know. Where did you get that? Where'd you get that
from? Apple? Yeah.
Okay. What's the name of it? The gardening Hawthorne?
What was that guy's name again?
Nigel something?
Thistledown. Hold on.
Thistledown. That sounds like a villain from Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, but they have Instagram pages. They got everything. Let's see. Nigel Thistledown. Let's see if it's already been admitted into the index. And nope, not there.
Guide to Spring Gardening with Nigel Thistledown.
It's in the index?
It's on Spotify.
Yeah.
This is in Spotify. Guide to, let's see.
Guide to Spring Gardening. There it is. Guide to Spring Gardening. Nigel Thistledown. He's here. Yeah. Only one episode, though. One episode.
By QP Daily? What is QP Daily?
Well, this is from Spreaker. Well, they're on Spreaker.
They are. Wondery is on Spreaker or whatever. No,
this outfit that does it, they're on Spreaker.
What's the name of that company?
Hold on. I got the name. 5,000. Hold on. Why can I not find it now? AI podcast. Oh, here we go. This is in the Hollywood Reporter, and their name is Inception.ai.
This feed was added in May.
May, yeah. No, that must have just been an errant feed that flooped out somewhere.
And they're going through, they're coming in through Spreaker. Is that where they're hosting?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're doing Spreaker. It's their Quiet Please podcast network, huh?
Oh yeah, QP. So that's what that is.
QP. Yeah.
This says QP Daily is the author on the feed.
Hmm.
I'm resetting it to see if there's more episodes. The API downranked it to -1 priority, which must mean that they didn't produce any episodes for a while. They may have just published the feed and just not published any episodes for a period of time. If they started in May and people are just now noticing it.
Here's a Ryan Reynolds QP podcast. Is this spam? Let's see. This is
interesting. Ryan Reynolds.
Day for free daily rewards.
And njarts.net. The highlight will be an evening with Ryan Reynolds and friends.
Oh, this is spam.
There's so much crap out there.
There really is.
It's just so much garbage.
Yeah. Oh, well. The internet was nice while it lasted. My friend.
Yeah, no, it's just over.
It's all over. Hey, let's thank some people because you got a time limit coming up, my brother.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Did you say we got one?
I got a couple live boosts here. Okay, cool. Chad F., could you guys switch this show's feed over to Ellen address so we have something to build with? App devs need a feed to build to, and that's what this show has always been for. Well, we have, I think, three Ellen address splits in the feed already. And I'm happy to sit here and look and let you know. So,
I mean, if Keysend is just toast, I mean,
I'm happy to switch it over. It doesn't
matter. I
guess
we just need to pull all those Keysend addresses out, right?
Yeah. If you want to test, I'm okay with that. 22-22 from Sir TJ the Raffle. Hey, TJ. Row of ducks. I know things seem in limbo, but I'm still hanging in there with V for V music thanks to what y'all started. The main message is V for V in any way, shape, or form that works for the listener. PayPal, Boost, Just Sharing Music, anything they can think of. Talk about V for V. Chad Vibe coded a whole music player for us on dorfalverse.com.
Nice.
Yeah, I got to take a look at that.
Chad's slinging some code.
He is, man. He's vibe coding up a storm.
Mm-hmm.
Salty Crayon, 333, ping pong this on. Is this thing on? Yes, it's on. It's Dreb Scott coming in from Castomatic, 2345. Nerd boost, gotcha. C Brooklyn, 5,000 sats. Here's a boost, thank you. 324 from sats from Chad F. That boostogram was pro removing key send, by the way. It needs to happen, so Chad's all for it. 3333 from Hey Citizen. Deprecated boost coming in from Podverse. Martin Lindis Code, could you handle a roundtable discussion with different market players in a future episode? I am in it for the long run. I like how easy it is to top up the wallet on TrueFans. Do you see the transactions in the back end, even if I see a network error message due to plenty of splits for your podcast, lost in cyberspace, or a safe ride with the Starship? What exactly is he asking here?
I don't know.
I mean, I see the boostogram come in, and I just presume that the sats came in. I haven't really looked at it. Let's see. Dreb Scott, 1234, pre-boosting. And there's, let's see, we got a couple hundreds here from Martin Lindis Coke, who just likes to send a lot of boostograms. Upbeats 333, take some true fan sats running with high def scissors. And you sent that twice, actually. 777 from Sam, go podcasting, video label now live. It was in cash. Yes, we saw that.
Oh, I saw it. Yeah, low cash.
Another 1234 from Dreb Scott, running with scissors live on video. And Mike Newman, 777, pre-show boost. Dreb Scott with 10,000 sats, go podcasting, he says, from Castomatic. Thank you very much. And there's the delimiter. We hit the delimiter. We're on the delimiter. We hit it.
I'm laughing at that, at the picture of my truck that Dreb Scott. God, that's funny. Let's see. We got some boostergrams. We got let me see. I'm sorting through all this. Okay. Yeah. We got some PayPals. These are not, there's no one-offs this week. We just got some, we got some monthlies.
Okay.
Lauren Ball, $24.20. Thank you, Lauren. Appreciate it. Podverse, Mitch and Creon over there. Mitch is just, I mean, he's just like locked in a room, creating next generation Podverse. I mean, that
guy can't wait. I can't wait. I know. I can't wait.
Basil Phillip, $25. Thank you, Basil. Appreciate you always. Mitch Downey, the aforementioned, $10. Christopher Harbarek, $10. Thank you, Christopher. Terry Keller, another long-termer, $5. Chris Cowan, another long-termer, $5. Silicon Florist, $10. And we got one boostergram.
From CSB.
From CSB.
He's hanging in there.
He delimited himself.
He's the beginning and the end. The alpha and the omega.
Yeah. Comic strip blogger, 13,000. Nice. 35 sats through Fountain. He says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Today, I'd like to recommend a podcast with ampersand in the name. Where actually he says ampersand in name. Podcasting Q&A by Buzzsprout. Quote, on podcasting Q&A, you'll hear the best tips and strategies to grow your podcast, whether it's getting more listeners, promoting your podcast on social media, or how to produce high-quality episodes in your editing software. Podcasting Q&A has everything you need. End quote. Thanks to Martin Lindiskog for finding it. Yo, CSB, the maker of www.trading.toys.
Yes. Which is a fine website to go look at some graphs and charts up and to the right.
To the moon.
It's a beautiful system. That's it?
Well, that was a very short donation segment.
It was. Well, I figured it was going to be short, but there you go.
Very short.
Everything y'all send to us in Boostergrams or Fiat Fun coupons through PayPal, which you can find at the bottom of the podcastindex.org page, the big red donate button, all go into the index fund and keep it running. So keep it running, please.
Sir Spencer asked about AMP. AMP is not a replacement for Keysend. AMP is Atomic Multipath. It is a way to split a large payment amongst different payment channels and have it be reassembled on the other end. So if you had seven channels with a total aggregate of 1 million sats of liquidity, but each individual channel only could max out, you know, around 150,000, then you may have to split the payment to less, you know, if you're going to do like a 700,000 sat payment, you'd have to split it into smaller pieces. They each would get routed through their respective channels that had enough liquidity, and then it would get reassembled on the other end. AMP was kind of, AMP was sort of misunderstood as a Keysend alternative, but it's not really.
No.
And a lot, and it's very unsupported. Every node in the chain from along the route has to support AMP, and there's not very much support for it.
Bolt 12, so. Bolt 12. I'm telling you, Bolt 12. Sure. All right, brother Dave, how's work going? Is it okay over at the shop? Everything hanging in?
Yeah. Good. It's fine. Mm-hmm. All right. Yep. All good. Yep.
Everything at home?
Yep.
Otherwise, I'll come good. In, you know, cook for you guys if you need anything. Happy to do it.
Thanks. Scallops and potatoes. Yeah, appreciate
no
that.
No problem at all. Hey, thank you very much, Boardroom, for being here. We love you. We certainly do. We'll see you next week right here on Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! Clearly not the Podfather's mistake.